from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me. Jesus said to him in reply, Allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I know it's hard to believe, but it's only been 2.5 weeks since Christmas. I'm sure most of you have taken down your trees and put away your baby Jesus. In fact, the day after Christmas, if you turned on the radio, you would have noticed you no longer heard any Christmas carols. Stores were already having after Christmas sales and putting up the Valentine's Day stuff. And just last Sunday, we celebrated here as the three kings arrived to pay homage to baby Jesus. But now, just a week later, we hear that a 30-year-old Jesus is about to be baptized. Seems like our little one grew up pretty fast. So what's going on? It's kind of like our world and our church is just ready to move on in some kind of time travel or something. It doesn't seem logical or make much sense to end our Christmas season with a much older Jesus getting baptized. Or does it? Like many of you, I hope like all of you, I spent Christmas Day with my family. I was sitting on the couch relaxing after making it through all the Christmas masses when suddenly my 3-year-old granddaughter jumped into my lap, laid her head on my chest, and gave me the biggest hug that her little arms could possibly have. Allow. I looked down and asked, well, what was that for? And she looked up at me with her sweet face just a few inches from mine and said simply, just because I love you. Needless to say, my old Grinch heart melted a little bit, and especially even more since that little one was named after my mother, who would often say those same words as, in her later years as we would part ways. But why was the infant Son of God of Mary born in a stable? Just because he loves you. And why did Jesus get baptized? He obviously was free of sin, unlike the rest of us. He had nothing to repent. So why did he go through all that? Just because he loves you. You know, theologians have been writing about the baptism of Jesus for centuries. And they often talk about its symbolic importance. St. Gregory of Nyssa compared his baptism to Joshua entering the Promised Land by crossing the River Jordan. And St. Ephrem wrote a hymn comparing the River Jordan to the womb of Mary. But I think the reality is actually much simpler. And I think it can lead us today to a deeper appreciation of Christmas and the Incarnation. In short, this moment shows just how much God wanted to enter our world, to be one of us, to live like one of us, to share in all we are, even to the point of being baptized just like we are, just because he loves us. And as I sat with these readings last week, I remembered the story of Satako Kitahara. Satako was a wealthy young woman who lived in Tokyo just in the years after World War II. She was well-educated, spoke several languages, and played the piano. One day, as she was walking through the city, she saw a group of nuns going into a church. And something touched her deeply, and she followed them inside. And for the first time, she saw a statue of our Blessed Mother. And every day, something got her back to that church, just to sit and pray for a while. One of the sisters answered her many questions, and several months later, at the age of 20, she asked to be baptized. She was a Shinto Buddhist, and shortly thereafter, she was baptized. And after that, everything changed. A life of wealth and comfort became less important. And one day, a missionary took her to the poorest part of town, a place where she had never been before, a filthy place down by the river called Ant Town. And it was called Ant Town because the people there were considered to be as insignificant as insects. And she was shocked by what she saw. She lived less than a mile away, but had never seen that type of poverty. She began spending more time with those people, helping them to go through garbage to find rags and junk to sell just for a few pennies. She eventually left her family's comfortable home to live among the poor there in Ant Town. She said, "To save us, God sent his only son to be one of us. And it hit me," she explained, "that there's only one way to help these rag picker children, and it was to become a rag picker like them." And so she did. She worked tirelessly for Japan's suffering children and eventually had to suffer herself as well. She contracted tuberculosis, and at age of 28, she died. Many are praying for her canonization yet today. But I think her understanding of Christmas and the Incarnation sheds light on the event we remember today in the River Jordan. She got why Jesus was born in the stable. She got why he went to the Jordan and waded into those waters. As she put it, God sent his only son to be one like us. He came into our world of poor rag pickers and saw something very beautiful, and nothing was beneath him. He stepped into that river to experience a human baptism, and then carried that experience with him, walking with others who had been baptized and who had committed to repentance. What he did was an act of solidarity. It said, "I am with you." He wanted to walk with them, just as he wants to walk with us today, just because he loves us. And Christ knows what it's like. He walks with those who have been hurt, betrayed, imprisoned, and mocked. He walks with those who seek refuge. He walks with migrants and laborers, widows and orphans. He walks with those desperate people running for their lives, seeking a new start in a new place. He walks with the sad. He walks with the lonely. In fact, he walks with anyone who will walk with him, anyone who seeks a way to the Father. You see, he really wants us to know that we are not alone. In times of struggle, of sorrow, or times of joy and thanksgiving, he's there beside us. The name we heard again and again during Advent, the name we sang about and celebrated, is a name we need to recall when we hunger for mercy, consolation, and hope. Emmanuel, God with us. The baptism in the Jordan reminds us that through Jesus, God is always with us. In the deep water, drenched in our humanity, he became one of us. He went all in. He took the plunge just because he loves us. And look what we have in return. We have the gates of heaven opened. Our hearts and souls can know mercy. We live in hope. On the calendar, our feast today may close the Christmas season. All our Christmas trees will be gone. Even these here today will be gone after our last service. Our manger scene will be put away. But don't think of it as an ending. For today, Jesus is reminding us to always keep Christmas in our hearts. For today marks a new beginning. It recalls the beginning of Christ's public ministry and the start of an incredible journey. A journey where we walk with each other and with the one who loves us. Emmanuel, God with us. And today, as we prepare to approach the altar to receive the Most Holy Eucharist, remember this. We walk through our world today as a different people. Different because Jesus was born of Mary. Because he chose to become one of us. Because he walked into Jordan and rose from that water to be with us. Today, once more, you each have the opportunity to jump into the lap of Jesus, lay your head on his chest, wrap your arms around him, and give him the biggest bear hug possible. Look into his eyes and say, "I know how much you love me, and I hope the way I live my life will show you how much I love you." I pray all of you will always keep Christmas in your hearts.